Today we're going to think on the subject, Satan works hard, and our main passage is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 14 tells us of Satan's fall. He was one of God's highest created beings, an angel, and he was called Lucifer, which means son of the morning. He was lifted up in pride and sought to exalt himself and be like God or take God's place. And though he was cast out of heaven, his work has never ceased. Down through the ages, he has been working hard to oppose God and God's people and God's purposes. Paul refers to some of this while writing to the Thessalonian believers. And first of all, we want to think on that he desires to oppose God's people. And we see that in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 14 and 15. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. Now these believers face some opposition that the churches of Judea faced, and from the same source. It was from the Jewish people. This opposition was at the beginning of the church age. And remember, the church had just begun at Pentecost, and so the church age was only about 20 years old. However, such opposition was not new or unique to the church age. It went deeper than just opposing that which was new in God's program for the ages. That opposition had been vented against the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophets down through the Old Testament. Now note, who was the opposition really directed against? Well, we turn back to John chapter 15, verses 18 to 21, and this is what we read. John 15, 18 to 21. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me first before it hated you. Now, this is Jesus talking. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Now that was Jesus talking. Notice in verse 18 it says, the world hated me. And then Jesus said in verse 19, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. And in verse 20, they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And then verse 21, these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Now notice John 17, verse 14. John 17, verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And notice he said, because they are as I am. That's basically what he said. Now, back to 1 Thessalonians 2. In verse 15, we read, "Who killed the Lord Jesus? The persecution was directed at God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ." And verse 14, it says that the churches of God, which are in Christ Jesus, and they were persecuted because of their position in Christ Jesus. Then verse 15 says that their own prophets, and these were before Christ came, but much of their message was a message of repentance, looking forward to the coming of Jesus, the Savior and King. Now notice what God had said to Abraham way back in Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, we read this, "And I will bless them that bless you, and curse him that curseth you, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now, Abraham was told that blessing would come through Christ, who is of the seed of Abraham, and the prophets proclaim this message. So the opposition was leveled against Christ and those who proclaimed him and belonged to him. And those who belong to him are the enemy's target. Now, coming back to the New Testament, to Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Luke 2, verse 11, we read, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord," as referring to the birth of Christ. And why was there so much persecution against Christ? Because he is the Savior. He is God's provision for man's redemption. Now, who was really behind the opposition that was vented against people then? Well, in John 8, verse 44, we read this. John 8, 44, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And then we read in John chapter 13, verse 2, "And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." So it was the devil that gave Judas Iscariot the idea that he should betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, turning to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, we read this, and the Apostle Paul is telling believers, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricky methods of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, when it says flesh and blood, it's referring to people. And for us now, it could be people at work, or classmates, or neighbors, or whatever. So our struggle is not against people, but it's still against the devil. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, we read this. Ephesians 2, verse 2, "Wherein in time past you walked," or lived according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so because before we were saved, we conducted ourselves or lived according to Satan's desires. You see, Satan is our enemy, and he is hard at work, because when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we no longer belong to him. We belong to the Lord Jesus, and therefore Satan is going to work hard against us. Now, secondly, he desires to oppose the gospel's proclamation. Turning back to 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 16, we read this, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Now, Satan not only opposes those who belong to Jesus Christ, but he also opposes those who proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. He opposes those who are redeemed or saved, and those who proclaim the message of redemption, how to be saved. Now, the Jews in that day, in Paul's day here, made every effort they could to stop Paul from proclaiming the gospel to the Gentiles. And in Acts chapter 17, it says that the Jewish people drove Paul out of Thessalonica. And verse 13 says, even when he was at Berea, he was forced out. Now, we see in 1 Thessalonians 2:16 that it said that the devil, or the Jewish people led by the devil, forbid Paul to speak to the Gentiles. So that word forbidding is a very forceful word. It means that Satan worked real hard to forbid them, to stop them, to keep them from proclaiming the message of salvation to those people. And Satan was not only hard at work in Paul's day, but Satan is still hard at work doing this today. He doesn't want us to tell others the gospel message, and he has many ways he uses to try to stop us or hinder us. It might involve trying to interrupt our prayer life of intercession for the lost, or it might be that of distracting or sidetracking us with other things so that we don't have time to witness and talk to other people that need the Lord. And it might be that of losing our vision so that we don't see the need of taking the gospel to the lost. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 17 and 18, we read this, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. You see, Satan opposes believers being taught the word of God so that they might grow in the Lord. And that's what Satan did with the Apostle Paul. He hindered him and kept him from being able to go to Thessalonica to teach these Thessalonian believers. You see, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, Satan suffered a defeat, but he doesn't stop opposing a person when they're saved. He doesn't want that person to grow in the Lord. He doesn't want that person to be taught the need of reading God's Word and praying and being baptized as a believer and being a part of a good Bible-believing, God-honoring church. And he doesn't want that person witnessing and seeking to win souls to Christ. Back in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, we read this. Luke 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. And so Jesus was telling Peter that Satan desired to hinder his life and to keep him from doing what Jesus wanted him to do. And Satan wants believers in all ages and in our age to be weak, spiritual babies. He doesn't want Christians to grow in the Lord and to become mature, fervently serving the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, we read this. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 3. Okay, we read this. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babies in Christ, or just newly saved people that haven't grown in the Lord. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and you are not carnal and walk as men? You see, again, Paul deeply desired to come back to Thessalonica, but Satan hindered him. And that word hinder means to break up the road. That's really what the actual meaning of the word is. Making the way impossible for Paul to go back to Thessalonica. I'm sure all of us have been driving somewhere. We wanted to go to a certain place, but the road was under construction. And it was not possible to go down that road to go where we wanted to go. Well, in Thessalonians, the Jewish people who were used by Satan, influenced by Satan, made it impossible for the Apostle Paul to return to Thessalonica to minister to those people. Now, thirdly, Satan wants to oppose God's purpose. He wants to oppose God's purpose. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 19 to 20, we read, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Jesus Christ provided redemption, and the Holy Spirit woos men to Christ. And God the Father makes those who receive Christ as their Savior one of his children. And believers, we who know Christ as our Savior, are to witness and take the message of the gospel to those who do not know Christ as their Savior. In Matthew chapter 28, 19, Jesus told his disciples, "Go you and teach," in other words, teach believers so that they might grow in the Lord. And then in Mark 16, verse 15, he said, "Go ye and preach the gospel." And so it was to encourage them to give the gospel message to those that needed it. And then in Luke 24, 47, he said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations. So he wanted them to be proclaiming the gospel message that the people could have their sins forgiven and be a child of God. And then in John 20, verse 31, he said to the disciples, "These are written that you might believe and have life." So again and again, he told them to go. Go to others. Go minister to others. Preach the gospel to others. When we stand before God one day, what will be our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? It will be those who have been saved that we have had some part in ministering to, whether it was praying for them or whether it was actually sowing the seed, presenting the gospel to them, or whether it was watering the seed, presenting it again and again, and or whether it was giving for others to go, that others might go and seek to win people to Christ. You see, soul winning produces joy, and new converts bring joy. They bring great joy now, and when we get to heaven, it will bring great joy to see people there that we've had a part in leading to Christ in some way. Let's think of an example. When there's a new baby, whether it's in the home or whether the parents bring that baby to church or whether it's in public, a new baby brings great joy for those who the child belongs to, and it brings joy to others when they get to see that baby and enjoy it. And so it is with new converts. Some new people that have just received Christ as their Savior, they bring joy now, and when we get to heaven, there will be great joy, as Scripture said, seeing those that we've had a part in leading to Christ. And Satan knows that. And so Satan works hard to hinder us from having a part in seeking to lead people to Christ. But Satan can only do so much. God is the one that's all-powerful. He can empower us, and he can use us, and he can save precious souls through the proclamation of his word and through our witness and our testimony and our prayers. And I pray that since for each of us who knows Jesus as our Savior, that we might seek to please the Lord, and we might seek to witness to others and minister to others and have a part in seeing that others come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God help this to be true in each of our lives. Let's close. Father, thank you for this time that we've had in your word. And Lord, I pray that you might just encourage us to be true witnesses for you and not to let Satan hinder us and keep us from walking pleasing to you and fervently serving you and doing your work as you want us to do. I pray that we might have victory over Satan and that we might do the work that you want us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.